by Matthew chapter 10. Unusual portion here, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground. This is not just the death of a sparrow, but it has to do with the sacrifice of the bird. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. The Father's knowledge that he gazes upon the death of a sparrow. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The sacrifice that was offered for us is a value beyond our understanding. Now, turn to the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 24. In that first day when he was risen from among the dead. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary of the old Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, the vilest of all places. Now let us turn back to Leviticus chapter 14 and read a little more about this sparrow. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two sparrows. This word bird here is the word sparrow. Two sparrows, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet. Hebrews 9:19 shows us this word scarlet is purple. Purple wool. Cedar wood and purple wool and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the sparrows shall be killed or slain an earthen vessel over living water, running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall put them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over running water, living water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open sea. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of these passages of His Word with what has gone before. We've been reminded from 1 Timothy 4 that a good minister of the Lord Jesus took his brethren in remembrance of the doctrine. I want to speak for a few minutes, if the Lord might help us, concerning some of the great foundational truths of Christianity. In the 11th Psalm we read, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We need to reiterate in the ears of our brethren who know these things, and in the ears of the many young people who are rising amongst us, the great foundations upon which our faith, our holy faith, is built. Now I find when reading through the scriptures that great truths are often illustrated with very small types. It's different from man's idea when man would display their greatness They point us to the inventions that they have made. They point us to the moon where they have gone, and to their ability to see in structures that they erect. But when the Lord wants to show me the greatness of the greatest person in the universe, my message will be all about him, this wonderful person we have heard about, who touched the heart of a man that was hard, and can touch the hearts of all his people. We read of Jonathan that he delighted much in David. We read of Hiram that he was ever a lover of David. We read of John that he leaned on the breast of the Savior. And we read of Luke, which is slave to the person of Naomi. I hope that when this message is given in a few minutes, he will be cleaved into his person, leaning on his breast, delighting much in his name, and that we may love him more as a result of what we can hear. God points us to little things to teach the greatest lessons in relationship to the person of his Son. He wants to show me the incarnation. He takes me out to the desert and he shows me a small round thing that came down in the darkness and lay upon the dew like a Bedellian stone, shining in the morning sunlight. The mystery of it was never understood by the partakers of it. They ate, but they never comprehended. We have never need food on a Christ that we cannot fully comprehend. But manna, which is his incarnation. God wants to show me the wonders of a perfect pathway, led by his Holy Son. He takes me to fine flour. And my hand goes into that fine flour and I take a handful. Every time that I think of a handful of fine flour, I say to the Lord, oh, that I have a larger hand to grasp more of Christ. Fine flour mingled with oil, perfect plant of his Son. But he wants to show me the death of the Lord Jesus. He takes me to hearing type, but one of the most touching of all is a bird in Leviticus chapter 1. A dove. And that dove was to be pressed, but not to be divided. I used to wonder why the bird, the priest would deceive it, but not divide it. The bullet was divided, the parts were laid upon the altar, because a bullet can be divided without breaking a bone. But the bird must never be divided. No bone of him is broken. I look at a tiny bird lying upon an altar. God says, that's a picture of my blessed Son. Meet neighbor to me. Well, I'm going to speak of the sparrow in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 10, the sparrow is almost worthless in the eyes of men. And yet not one of those sparrows ever fell to the ground and death at the altar. But the sparrow gazing upon it. Oh, the beauty of his heart. Isn't it wonderful that God would take sparrows to teach great lessons for mortal men as we? Now, my message will bring to our attention seven great fundamentals that are taught in the picture of the sparrows in Leviticus chapter 14. Christ is found in the pictures of the Pentateuch, in the poetry of the Psalms, in the prophecies of the major end of the Old Testament, in person in the Gospel, in preaching in the Acts, in pattern, example in these epistles, in preeminence in the book of the Revelation. Luke 24, the risen Christ in the upper room, the beginning at Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. He showed to them the things concerning himself, the sufferings and the glory of the Savior. Well, I'm going to take these two birds and for a few minutes speak from the two sparrows, the seven great foundations of our holy faith. that the young believers might never forget it. There is a ministry that didn't forget. There is a ministry we will never forget. There is a ministry that we recall to mind 30 years after the hurt. It's preserved on the heavenly day, and it's preserved our doctrine in an evil day. I'm going to look at these seven wonderful truths in connection with Leviticus 14 in 12. Now the first one here is, when a man was cleansed, these birds were taken. First thing I noticed was, very briefly, two birds, the double trumpet. It's the two birds to set forth the work, person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we have this double sight, even in the book of Leviticus. We have two loaves in chapter 23. We have two goats in chapter 16. But here we have two birds. These two birds represent the one person, the Lord Jesus. First great truth is this. Where he was before he came. Where he was before he came. The birds were alive. They flew in the open heaven. Birds in the open heaven. Representing where he was. Where he came from. All these things in your thought of the pre-existence of the Lord Jesus. We were born. We had no prior existence. He was the only one to say, when he said to Pilate in John 18, "For this cause was I born, to slay the man. For this cause I came." He came from another realm. He came from a prior realm where he was invisible, where he was unseen. And with many things, it seems out. You have never think of him up there, in all the beauty of his eternal glory. We can think of the day when creation came into being. We can think of the day when angels were created. My mind can go back, and I can grasp in some measure a time when there appeared in heaven those angelic beings, of which we know so little. But go back before angels, back into that basis, and he stirred without the wind. There he was. The one that died for us. Everything. The Word from all eternity. Thank God for John 1. Every young believer should read it. In beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And for it, the Word was God. The birds in the open heaven. But now let us look at the second great truth here. And I have called it his incarnation. That bird came into a sphere that it had never known before. A fear that was not natural to that bird. That first bird was taken and was placed in an earthen vessel. Oh, how such a bird in an earthen vessel. I know it's a failing picture, but it's a touching picture. The incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world only saw the outward vessel. As he moved in Nazareth, as we heard yesterday, we only saw the outward vessel. He saw a carpenter, but he didn't see the heavenly bird. He saw a man, but they didn't realize he was the Son of God. He became what he never was before. When he was born at Bethlehem, he became something that he never was before. He became a lowly baby. He experienced dependence on an earthly mother. He had done when he was up there from all eternity with a father but without a mother.
You've come here for 33 years. You have a mother, but you have no earthly father. You came from the blackest of glory to the former ever. He came from the highest place above to be found in tragedy of a man. He left aside the superiority of that eternal throne for the humility of a man. Great is the mystery of God, manifest himself. He lost eternal seed and came into time condition. Word, the nothing came from you. But the third great truth I want to teach in any of these good truths, the answer to me is wonderful. Number three, a perfect pathway that is. A bird, alive and free. Perfection. He was the only one who could say, it could be and then could be. John 7, there's a woman taken with adultery. Did you ever notice the accuracy of his statement? He said, he that is without sin. There in fact, the first place is among you. And not he that is without sin. If he had said that, he must cast the stone. And his divine accuracy of sin. He that is without sin among you is sinful. In his nature of a joke, some question today the impeccability of the Lord Jesus. If I understand the delicate writing of the physician, isn't it marvelous that the Lord Jesus after his incarnation is described by the physician and not by the fisherman. The fisherman knew more about the incarnation than the physician, because Mary, the mother of the Lord, lived with John, the fisherman. And from the lips of Mary herself, John learned the incarnation. The fisherman lifts his pen to write about the incarnation, and he writes these words. The word became flesh. But look, the physician, in almost 2,000 words of celestial beauty, delicacy, a fisherman is not capable of writing of the delicate matter of the birth of the Savior. Luke tells us where he received the holy man. The manhood of the Lord was not received by an earthly father for a husband. His manhood was not received by his mother, not Mary's manhood. His conception was divine. His manhood was prepared by God. In his nature, therefore, there was no sin. Could not. Our brother mentioned yesterday, the bird alive and free. So we trace his eternal existence in the earth of a bird above, where he was, before he came, what he became, an incarnation, and the holiness of his pathway. But the bird must die. If the leper is to be cleansed, if atonement is to be made, Christ must die. This was the purpose of his incarnation, Hebrews chapter 2. He came into that body that in that body he might have the capability of dying upon a cruel tree. As I gaze upon the face of the day, I am reminded of the face of the mild man.
I said, look at the hands of the babe. I'm reminded of the hands that will be pierced from Calvary. I gazed upon the holy footsteps of Christ in the world he's handed me. Under Christ in office, I realized he was here, not to live, but to live. We were born to enjoy life. God gave us a being that we might live here a while before we go hence. He was born to die upon the tree. Born to suffer. The vessel. In that vessel, love is death. And the seed of death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first slave in the heaven. When he died, men thought that was the end. They desired to remove his body, to take away all trace of the one who did. But God had another bird in this picture. And it took the second bird to carry it over into the fifth great fruit, the fruit of resurrection. Man thought that when Christ died on that cross, that was the end. He made his grave of the wicked one. It's interesting to notice in Isaiah 53 that that word is of a dual number. He made his grave of the wicked. But it was with the rich. And that word is in a singular number. He was with the rich man. He is there. He made a grave of two. But he lay in the grave of one. For never one had ever reigned before. The Bible is very clear, wherein never reigned before the grave. Why? Because in the Old Testament there was a grave where a man was laid. And when a man was buried in that grave and came into contact with the bones of that dead man, he lived. God says, will there no one ever say, my cup was made by touching the body of another. Resurrection 104 times in our Bible. 21 times in the apostolic teaching. Four wonderful accounts that synchronize in all their fragrant beauty in the four gospels to tell us that he is not here. Risen. The bird lives on. Blessed be his holy name. If Christ be not raised, our Savior's raised. He thought that was the end when he rolled the stone to the tomb. And that he was wrapped in those linen things. And he made it the sure victory. I seem like telling Pilate 10,000 soldiers, not four. The greater the precaution, the weightier the stone, the grander the sea, the more glorious the victory. Word of life. Resurrection of Christ. He appeared in a garden to a fallen man. The first work of Christ in resurrection was not to shoot the upstairs. The first business of the living Christ was not to expound theology. The first work of the living Lord was to wipe away the tears of a heart that was wounded. The woman at once. Sin entered the world by a woman. Would I delight in saying the first sight that saw and found here is the eye of a man? I know I'm right in saying that the first one that saw and glorified manhood was another Mary. First sight that saw him. At birth, you were human, yes. The first one that saw the resurrection, an earth. Man spoke against Christ in this year. Both the Jesus uttered different things against Christ in this year. And the Old Testament, a million straight against the moon.
But in the New Testament, very good.
No woman ever uttered her voice to speak against the Lord.
They were the last at the cross, persecuted.
They were in the family.
They continued with the woman.
The New Testament teaching in the assembly teaches you that the brethren speak of strength and virility in the field.
And this will speak of divine effect.
Your brethren, you need divine affection for the man of the world. There's only one thing that will keep us in the fullness of the Lord of it. What is it? Affection for a man that never came. The fight they were eliminated to. He was a comforter in the garden. He was a companion on the highway. He was near and wonderful. He was the center of the garden in the upper room. He was the controller of the fish that were in the sea. The Bible says the man is fallen, and knowledge of the sea.
He's a coming one from the mountain side.
He appeared in a garden, a highway, an upper room, a seashore, and on a mountain side. And he went up,
brings me to the sixth great truth here.
The bird. The second bird that speaks of Christ in resurrection. That bird upon its plumage. That sparrow upon its pinions and feathers. With the blood of the bird that had them slain. And tied to the leg of that bird with a little piece of a pigeon.
The keeper of Lebanon.
A little piece of hyssop. The tiniest of all plants. Solomon stated the trees from the cedar in Lebanon as the beauty of all trees. A little piece of the great tree sitting in birds. And a little piece of hyssop. He stated the trees from the cedar in Lebanon to the hyssop that's been out of the wall. The tiniest of all plants. The ruler of all flesh. Tied to the leg of that bird ere it made its ascension was a piece of purple wool which bound the cedar and the hyssop to the leg of a living bird. And that bird, its plumage red with blood, its feathers dipped in the blood of a bird that died. That little sparrow was taken out. Reminds us of the day that he led them out to Bethany. And he lifted up his hand. This bird finally came to the open field. And there, the priest, opened his hand. And the bird began to mount back to the natural habitat from whence that bird had been plucked at the beginning. Rising higher and higher. When I was first gazed, I left Macintosh in the sentence. He tells us that that bird, as it soars upward, would likely sing a blasphemous note. He don't know of the Lord's path near him, but strong saving heart. He rose up. I love Jenny Ken. This past the dark and dreary night and Lord revealing us. Our morning star without a cloud of brightness on thy breast. Oh, sweet dark and eyes,
heart and hope no more.
That word that mounted up is carrying the evidence of death of another bird. That bird going up has never known much deadening. That bird going back into its natural habitat has never known the sufferings of an earthen planet. But dear brethren, he whom you see before his day and see him preserving and very soon, you see him going back.
going back in a new way. He's going back in a different way than he has ever been before. He's going back on the way he has ever seen the light in heaven. Angels have seen wonderful things in heaven, but they never saw the fruit of a man in heaven. The first fruit that ever entered heaven's eternal home of a man was a fruit that bore the mark and wings of Calvary. That bird going back has no notice. But that exalted one that we love going back, he knew the pangs of death. You know a wonderful word that people use it? He released the pangs of death, the pangs of death. Those pangs are past. The tears are wiped away. He goes up with wounded hands and feet and cries. That's the very same. The same one that came out, but he's going back and mounted. Lord, he has carried perfect manhood that glorified God down here to the highest place above, higher than angels. I love that old poet, higher than all, higher than all. Jesus, my Savior, higher than all. Thrones and dominions before him shall fall. Jesus, my Savior, higher than all. You say, what has it to do with me? You are heaven. God has placed him on the highest throne of all. One has to place him upon the question that you are. They went back to Peter, or yes, Peter. Strong set the pride, his countenance, his excellence to you. That man up there, in the glory, is the greatest man in the universe. The greatest person in all God's universe. Throughout the universe that lifts the center thou. Lowliness of Christ is God. I can understand the lowliness of Christ in man. But dear brethren, it's beyond the finite mind to understand the lowliness of the one that is exalted above all. Give a man in lowly condition. Give him wealth. Give him honor. Give him talent. He has been reminded of this. Grace and kindness. Every man exalted man that became multimillionaires, the man that became president, the man that became lowly, that came from obscurity. They lost the lowly. But there's one of us lowly, and he's as lowly there as he was when he was here. He's as tender yonder as he was when he touched the ladder. And by the way,
Dr. Edward Jennings must be a spiritual man. I think he's tends to speak it in the book. Ah, suffering now the tender. Jesus, on the Father's throne, still an answer all of him. Jesus, the bird went back to the mark of death. But the bird went back in exaltation. The bird went back with a hiss of lowliness. Word went back with trouble. He said, he who came once from the land of bliss into an earthly devil and was slain over running water offered at the eternal powers of truth, from the grave, and has gone up and is a priest in heaven
at God's right hand touched with a feeling of Aaron's firm. Is there anyone lonely? Jesus lonely. Is there anyone here with a heavy heart when you leave the conference to go home to a house where there's neither wife or friend? Are there those here with burdens that now you can't bear your bed? What a friend you have in Jesus. All our sins in Jesus.
What a privilege to carry everything. Oh. Purple. Coming back. The long purple, green, purple mullet. And the trees that went to wear the purple bag.
He's wearing his hat many diadems for once he had tried the truth. He is carried a scepter of universal dominion. Jesus shall reign for all time.
Mentioned Jesus.